Welcome to the show, this episode with Scotty Studer.
Welcome to the Chris Ruggiero podcast.
He's the author of the book, Small Changes, Big Results. And he talks about all the stuff that I love about getting out there and making things happen in your life instead of sitting around thinking about them, waiting for them to happen, because they're never going to happen until you take that first step, take that small change to create big results. Excited to have Scotty and his enthusiasm and excitement here on the show. We are not going to waste any time. We are going to get right into it. So thank you for listening. Leave a rating and review. Let us know what you think. As always, you can listen to the show on iTunes, on the podcast app, on your phone, on Stitcher, on your phone, pretty much wherever you listen to podcasts. You can listen to this podcast. It's available everywhere, free everywhere. This is the Chris Ruggiero podcast. Thank you for listening. Here we go. I'm here with Scotty Studer, who has a great message for us on this concept of small changes for big results. And I'll let you, Scotty, give us a little bit of a background of what you do and what your message is.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Chris. It's super good to speak with you today and excited about the opportunity. So I'm Scotty Studer. I'm from Nashville, Tennessee, and lived here for almost 20 years now, married to my wife. We're going to be married 18 years, and we've got two kids. They're 13 and 15, pretty awesome teenagers. So I've definitely taken some of the stories and stuff that I share about some small changes and big results from, obviously, life with them. Life with teenagers can be fun, can be challenging, can help us as adults learn a lot of really good lessons too. But so that's been a fantastic part of my life. I kind of grew up in IT, so that's kind of my main gig, if you will. I've been in IT now for about 18 years, and I truly enjoy what I do. I really help people every day work through a little bit more of a technical conversation around some solutions that we sell with the company that I work with. But this Small Changes, Big Results book that I put together over the past year has really been an interesting new challenge for me. Something, quite honestly, I thought I would never do. So it's been really cool to kind of see it come to fruition because I've never considered myself an author. Anyway, I'm excited to talk about it.
Great, and I think I'd jump right into something. As you said, you've never thought you would do it because you didn't see yourself as an author. Yeah. Where was that breaking point where? As we were talking here for a second before we started recording about this thing of a lot of people are thinking about something, and I think it's probably 95% of the people in the have thought about or said at one point, I wish I could write a book about my life or something like this, and probably 95% of people don't do it.
Yeah.
So what was that moment when you know, maybe silenced those voices that told you that you aren't an author or that you can't do this. When was that moment that happened that you said, no, I can do this and I will do this, and then you did it?
Great question. So I, over the past probably 3-4 years now, really started reading for pleasure throughout my childhood, high school, college, even, you know, majority of my adult life. I was never very much of an avid reader, quite frankly. I would pick up a John Grisham novel back in the day, right? Or a James Patterson mystery, thriller, suspense kind of novel, fiction writing, if we were going on vacation. But I almost kind of had to force myself at times to read it. Now, once I did, I was usually very much entertained by it, enjoyed it, and wanted to continue reading. But several years ago, a friend introduced me to some leaders who were really, really focused on kind of this idea of self-improvement, right? Where what we put in is what we put out. Garbage in, garbage out is that old kind of computer phrase, if you will, but it's applicable in so many areas of life. And so that was really kind of the part one of a turning point for me is I started to listen, because these guys went from being a school teacher, a guy who sells real estate, and really kind of turned their life around. And then through a small business venture, really had great financial success. But it was more about helping people, right? And they didn't come to this place just by, flipping a light switch right? It took time. It took kind of a changing of a thought process. And so their main influence for that, what they shared with me, was through reading. And so they were picking up books by guys like Darren Hardy, guys like John Maxwell. And these are guys that I had heard about before, but again, quite honestly, never really took the time to pick it up. So that's where it kind of started for me 3 to 4 years ago, is I tried to read more of those type of books. And slowly but surely, I started making some little tweaks and changes in my life, and some of them stuck and some of them didn't. So I'm sharing all that as kind of a background to say, you know, coming up to becoming an author was greatly influenced by that. So as I would read these books, right, things would jump out at me, an idea would jump out at me, but I was never really taking any major steps towards big ideas. And so over the past year, I was working with, really in all of 2015, I was working with a coach, really more on the financial side. He was a great advocate for helping me get some things set up. But one of the big things that he talked about was find your soul purpose. And what he really focused on through some of the coaching material and stuff that we did is, what are you passionate about? What excites you? What could you get up every morning doing and like not get tired of doing it? And that's, I've never done that kind of exercise before, Chris. I don't know if you have, but when you really sit down and try to answer that question, that's a hard question to answer, you know? So for me, it kind of took a lot of soul searching, I guess, to figure that out. And I narrowed it down to a few things, but I couldn't really figure out that one thing. Like, I had some ideas and I talked to him about them, but I could never really figure out what it was. And honestly, we were okay with that. So we talked about some other things. So that was all of 2015, is this kind of dialogue around, well, what is your soul purpose? And even though at the time I didn't really hone in on something, I've always had this going in the back of my mind. Again, kind of garbage in, garbage out, but also what I'm putting in is also what you ultimately wind up thinking about more than just every once in a while. And so after the first of the year, I was listening to a podcast, which it's awesome that, you know, I've got the opportunity to share on a podcast now. They've been a huge help to me. And at the end of the podcast, it was a health-based. The guy had started kind of this juicing-type drink mix company from scratch and had been phenomenally successful with it. So it was very health-oriented. So the podcaster said, you know, if you could share one idea with our audience that anybody could do that would really – you know, help them take a step towards improving their health, what would be an easy thing that people could do? And the guy said, well, he said, why not start your day with a glass of lemon water? He said, just fill up a glass of water, get you a fresh squeezed lemon, squeeze the lemon juice in it, mix it around, and maybe start your day just as a simple step with that. And then he kind of went into all the benefits of why lemon water and those kinds of things. It was literally like that light bulb moment for me. I thought, huh, that makes sense. I wonder if I could come up with a few more things that either I've done or I've heard other people do that weren't hard to do, you know, that really anybody could do. And that if I kind of came up with enough and kind of came up with this, well, just try it for 7 days, 10 days, and see if it's a good fit for you and see if you can notice some kind of improvement in your life. I bet I could do that. Let me sit down and think about that for a little bit. And the rest, as they say, is history, quite frankly, because over a period of about 3 weeks, I sat down and wrote almost 70 different ideas out. Hmm. And these were quick things, you know, like a couple of three words or something like that, right? And then from those 70 ideas, I whittled them down to kind of my 26 favorite, and from that came small changes, big results. So that was kind of the longer version of the story, I guess. But once I decided that I wanted to do this, now I was, I guess, if you will, inspired to sit down and do it because I had a message to share. Hmm. Right. And that's really what being an author is you've got a message to share, whether that's a creative message, fiction writing, whether that's a real practical, you know, kind of self-help message, which is obviously where I was gearing to. So anyway, that's kind of the long story, I guess.
Yeah, that's great. And there's there's some cool stuff in there about sitting down and, you know, when you had that spark of inspiration or motivation to make it happen, and you, as you said, you could sit down in a couple of weeks and have basically the whole outline for the whole starting blocks to make it all happen. And I think a lot of people are stuck in this maybe old way of thinking of things take a long time to happen, and more importantly than that, you have to wait for somebody else to tell you that you can do it. And that's a big thing for me about self-publishing and creating all these things of, you know, it's the same kind of old story of we have so many opportunities now to do whatever we want. And I'm actually, so there, that, did you self-publish the book, or did you work through someone, or how did that come out then?
So great follow-up question, because there's kind of more to the story, right? So I believe God opens doors for all of us, and he certainly opened up one for me, I think, as I was kind of deciding to do this, sitting down for a few weeks, kind of writing down, like I said, 70 ideas, and not really knowing, because again, I'm not an author. My joke is my wife has a master's in English, and she teaches high school English, right? So my joke is I had to marry a brilliant English person to kind of, make up for me not being that writer. And she's penned stories on her own and stuff like that. So she was always a great advocate for me. She was my biggest fan, my biggest cheerleader through this whole thing. And she knew I could do it. But as I sat down, I didn't know how to self-publish. I was starting from nothing. And, as things happen sometimes, Chris, I got an email from a list I'm a part of, another book that I read and podcaster. And he says, hey, my buddy is doing this self-publishing school. He's throwing up a webinar. Go check it out and see if it's something that you're interested in. And, sometimes timing is everything, Chris, and sometimes these things just work out. So I went, I watched the webinar, and I was like, I got to do this. This is what I need. I have the ideas, and I'm excited about putting pen to paper, but I have no clue how to take this from idea to published work. I need some help. And that's what self-publishing school really was for me. It was the catalyst for taking me from, some ideas to how we outline a chapter through mind mapping, how we spend time every single day writing, you mark it out on your calendar, so they kind of have all of these steps lined out for you. And then they also help take you through the process. Okay, now what? Now let's go get an editor, right? Now let's go get a cover designer. Now let's go do this. Now let's get it published and get it uploaded. Now let's build a fan base prior to launch and all of that kind of stuff to create, a successful launch for somebody like me who's really starting from scratch. I don't have a brand out there. This is my first kind of step into. And so it was really a huge, tremendous help for kind of getting me from the idea to the published book.
Cool. And as far as other technical stuff, because I think that's going to really resonate with people who are thinking about this, wanting to do this. And I did the same thing with my book, Just Go. It was the title of the book was about what I was going through myself of wanting to do this thing, but I was thinking about it and didn't know what to do. I've never written a book before. And the whole concept of the book was just go, like make it happen, figure it out. It's for me, everything that I've ever done, I can get inside my own head a lot and start thinking of the problems that are going to occur and the challenges.
Guilty.
That, and it's because it's crazy. You think about anything, you think about traveling, you think about anything, like all these things that can go wrong, or writing a book, like how do I make sure the cover looks right on the book, or how do I get the right microphone set up to start a podcast, or what kind of headphones do I need? And I'm in podcasting Facebook forums. I've talked about this before, and it's like every question on there is about what kind of equipment people need. And I'm like, you take your iPhone out and start talking to it.
Just get started.
and then you'll realize if that might work actually, if it doesn't, then you go buy $100 microphone or something. But you don't need that. If you don't have $100, people are like, oh, you need this microphone. No, you don't. You need the phone. If you don't have a phone, get it, whatever, go to the thrift store and get a tape player or something. I don't know.
No
one knows what tape players are, but like there'll be a little mobile voice recorder, whatever. Mm-hmm. Anyone who's listening to this has an iPhone. Well, I don't know why I'm trying to dance around it. but like, same thing for me. It was like that book. I was like, I don't know how to do this. And even the writing process, I was like, I don't know how to do this. So like what my process was starting with the blog. I was like, I know how to write a blog post.
Yep.
And I can do that for 6 months, you know, three times a week. And that was literally how I wrote the book of like, and there were these little easily digestible, like 3-page, my listeners will know this story. But there'll be some new people here for this one. They were like little 3-4-page mini chapters, and they're blog posts. And so then my story of that was, and I wrote a blog post about the process of this, which kind of really resonated with people. So I'll bring it up, not to bring up my stuff, but it really connected with people of the idea was I went from a blank computer screen or blank notebook and to a physical book published in my hands in 6 months.
Nice.
And no one really, I didn't have to ask anyone if I was able to do that. I didn't have to wait for somebody to approve of anything. Yeah. I didn't have to do anything. I figured it all out myself and then made it happen. And then same thing with like edit, like, or like layout design. I was like, I can get this book laid out for $1,000, which for some people listening, that makes sense. But I was like, $1,000, I can devote like a couple days of work to learn how to do it on YouTube, which is free.
Yep.
And that's what I did. I learned how to do it and I laid it out and it like looks like a book.
Yep.
so that's, you know, going back to what you said, it was just like, that moment of making it happen. And it sounds easy, but I'll ask you this. What are some challenges that you did face? You know, I don't like to linger on the challenges a lot. I'd rather focus on, you know, talking about the successes. But I think it is important to note that there are – everything's not super easy, even though sometimes we say it is. There's definitely challenges. So throughout this process, like maybe before you started the book or the actual process of making the book, what were some challenges that you faced? And then, you know, obviously touch in on how you overcame them.
Okay. So I suffer from – I'm a recovering analysis paralysis addict, right? To your point about the microphone, man, I will find every reason to not do something until I feel like I've got all my ducks in a row. And the best phrase I've heard to overcome that in any situation is done is better than perfect. And that literally has to be my mantra, the kind of the voice ringing in my head on a regular basis for me personally, because if not, I will fall right back into analysis paralysis. I can't take a step forward until I feel like I know enough or everything or whatever before I take that first step. And so I've really, that was my biggest challenge. Done is better than perfect. Scotty, just get these thoughts onto paper. And that was the beauty of working through this system, right? And here's how I like to describe it for people. We wake up every day and we make hundreds, maybe, I don't know, I'll say hundreds of decisions on whether or not we have more time or we have more money, right? And it's the little things, you know, that we probably don't even really think about. And so I had to determine, okay, Scotty, are you going to dedicate the time to research and learn and figure this out? Kind of like, you know, the example you gave with figuring it on YouTube and spending a couple of days doing that, or are you going to pay somebody who does this professionally to design your cover? And I just use that as an example, right? And it took a lot of those decisions through this whole project. And some of them I did choose to do on my own, you know? But a lot of it was coming down to what do I feel like I could reasonably do? And am I really going to get this done or am I going to put it off? See, that's my other challenge, Chris, is I'm a procrastinator. Huh. Why do today what can be put off till tomorrow, right? And that's another kind of mental block that I've had to really kind of work through to keep stepping forward. And that's really the overarching theme of the book too, Small Changes, Big Results, is I want to place small bite-sized ways to move people in a direction of improvement that are not giant leaps. Because for me, procrastination happens when I feel like it's a giant leap. If it's a small step, if it's like a checkbox thing for me, you know, I'll knock that out pretty quickly, right? But if I feel like, oh gosh, you mean I got to get up at 5 a.m. every morning for at least three times a week. I got to get in the car. I got to drive to the gym and I got to work out an hour with nobody there to help me. Yeah, I'm not going to do that. You know, kind of that big, that big leap, right, in my mind. So I had to find small ways to do it myself. So I was really trying to implement what I talk about in the book. So for writing, setting time aside. So in order to take the small step in writing, I had to set aside a time every single day to do it. And that's what I did. I said the first hour of my day was dedicated to writing. Now, the first hour of my productive day, getting up, I've got a morning routine, help my kids get ready for school, I kiss my wife and kids goodbye, and then it's my time, right? So I would dedicate that first hour of kind of my time before the rest of my day started to write. So that was probably the first suggestion I would give, is carve out time in your day to do it. And maybe it's not an hour, right? Maybe it's 30 minutes. Maybe it's 15 minutes. And maybe you're just writing, you know, something. Because again, done is better than perfect. You don't have to write the whole chapter in the hour. Maybe you just mind map. That was one of the big lessons learned that from this whole thing, was a mind map is where you start with that big idea, right? And then you start putting lines across from the cloud and drawing smaller clouds, right, to kind of build, you know, every thought about this particular topic that you want to write about. And it can be anything. You just write it all down. And then you kind of take that and kind of start grouping it into, you know, smaller sections. And then once you kind of step back at that, it's like, okay, great. Now I can sit down and write all of these thoughts as a part of this chapter. Right. So that's how I spent a lot of the first several weeks of doing this, is mind mapping the chapters out and then writing a little bit and those kinds of things. So hopefully those are a couple of examples of, you know, taking me from, you know, put it off to kind of making me get it done and doing it in such a way that was repeatable so that I could consistently produce work. That makes sense.
Yeah. And I was going to go into a question of which seems to be happening a lot of these questions that I ask get answered before I ask them, which is nice. I think I'm connecting with people who are on the same wavelength lately, which is, it's kind of interesting. A question I had in mind was a time that persistence has paid off in a big way. And you kind of just talked about that, but I'll kind of fine tune that even more and let you have a moment with that of just, you know, I just was talking with someone a moment ago about this idea of this, the moment when we feel like giving up and like it's all too much to handle is so often, almost always, the moment right before something clicks and something mm-hmm. happens, and the, you know, that aha moment or whatever. Mm-hmm. So it's that moment of persistence and kind of pushing through. But to balance that is the idea of not jumping into blind persistence of, you know, being open to possibilities, but also pushing through. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if there's a specific question in there, but do you have anything to add to that idea of, you know, pushing? There's a lot of cliche quotes yeah. and stuff about that thing, but do you have any story from your personal experience about that kind of driving through, making things happen just because of persistence?
Yeah. So I think, and I kind of alluded to it a little bit in my introduction, there is the first thing that comes to mind, right? So I spent a year working on with this personal coach, right? Who kept, we really focused on the sole purpose thing, but I kept finding ways to, no, that's not for me. No, that's not going to work out. Well, let me think about it this way. Well, no, that's not really something I feel like I could get passionate about. I mean, really, it really was. It was a lot of back and forth that way, but in the back of my mind, I thought he's right. You know, I enjoy what I do. I'm not a guy who wakes up every day dreading to go to my quote unquote 9-to-5, but that doesn't mean I want to do a 9-to-5 for the rest of my life. Right. And that was part of this whole, you know, kind of year long coaching session with him from a financial perspective, is let's take you from where you are and let's figure out where you want to grow and be and do and live passionately for it. So that was the overarching theme for like literally a whole year. And although I had focused time answering very specific questions, working with my wife and saying, help me here. You know, how would we design this? You know me better than I know me. Right. And I felt like at the end of that session, literally like at the end of December, right. It was like, okay, I'm okay with not really having this grandiose idea of what they called soul purpose. But then, Chris, because it had been in my mind for almost a year, the year turns, we're literally having our last session. And that podcast that I mentioned earlier happened. Hmm. And this gentleman I was working with, he was the first person I emailed. I said, you are not going to believe this. You know, kind of, it was kind of one of those big, bold exclamation, you know, all caps, subject emails that you send out. You know, that whole time we've been talking about me and soul purpose and figuring it out. And you know, the whole conversation we had, I think I finally figured it out, you know? And so I would just encourage folks, to not be on a prescriptive timeline. And that's hard to hear, quite frankly, because in our fast-paced world, we want it now and we want it to be perfect. And that's just not how life works. It's never how life has worked for me. And it's not how life works in general. So we kind of have to ignore the headlines that other people throw out there to get you, which, again, it's all part of marketing, I understand. But there's also the reality side to it. Don't stop being persistent, right? Because if I would have kind of after that second to last session kind of mentally checked out, you know, of this larger goal that I was kind of trying to figure out, I don't feel like I would have listened with the same goal in mind kind of to that podcast that I was mentioning and really kind of had that light bulb moment. I hope that's helpful. I think that's kind of in line with what you were looking for, you know?
Yeah, definitely. Okay. Yeah. Just hearing, stories and actual real life things of people who are going through that is helpful for, you know, for me. And I know for people who are listening, to hear those things of just kind of everything that you said tied up in that last one of, you know, making it happen. And I guess kind of in that thing of like breaking through and having that moment where when it all clicks together. And I guess that's really what I want people to see is like that, the keep going attitude.
Yep.
Because something is coming. And as you said earlier, like the timing sometimes is,
yep,
supernatural.
yeah.
And just beyond what we could ever imagine that it could be. And I know there's people, I and people who are listening who are always, you know, working on the next thing and just waiting, yeah, for that thing to click and waiting for that moment to happen. And I want people to know that it's coming. And all the work that we're all putting in, if anyone who listens to my podcast is like working on something there, you know, yeah, everyone has goals, has big goals and dreams. And that's really what I want the message to be, is that it's working. Even, yeah, if it feels like we're on a plateau, that you know, the mass is building and ready for it to happen.
Yeah, for sure.
Cool. That's great. I know we are on a tight time schedule here today, and we just hit pretty much all the topics that I wanted to talk about. So let's do a wrap up of kind of tie all the loose ends together here. So bring it back to someone who's listening, who has these ideas. They want to, again, whatever it is that they want to do, start a podcast, start a YouTube channel, write a book, whatever else that you could possibly want to do, who's feeling a little stuck and needs a little boost, a little, yep, encouragement. They hit the wall. What's your wrap up? Nice message for them to keep going.
It would have to be find a way to take a step, not a leap, not a jump, not a, I can't do this, but right. Find a way to take a step to making that change. You know, I talk about improving in four critical areas of your life: faith, finances, health, and relationships. Those are kind of my big four. Those are four things, kind of back to the early conversation, I'm really passionate about, that I enjoy talking with people about. And those are kind of the four primary sections that I've laid out. And in each of those sections, you know, I've got different ideas, you know, in the realm of health, like the lemon water example I mentioned, right? In the area of finance, in the area of faith, in the area of relationships. And what I would encourage people to do is try to see the forest through the trees. Try to take it one step at a time. So maybe it is that you want to, you know, get better rest at night. Maybe you're, you know, having trouble sleeping. It's been an ever-going challenge. Well, one easy way, you know, to step into getting better rest that I found was to load an app on your phone, or go buy a little machine called a white noise app or a white noise machine. One of my biggest challenges with getting rest at night, because I was a light sleeper as an example, was all of the noises, the crickets, the cars, this and that, right? It made a world of difference to me just to go and have that white noise playing in the background as I was going to sleep at night. Helped me sleep a whole lot better. And see, that's just a small little step, right? That anybody who's struggling with getting good rest at night, maybe they're trying to make it out to be something much bigger. But if they take a step in that simple direction, as an example, it could vastly improve, you know, the quality of sleep that they're getting every night. And so I would just encourage your listeners to figure out whatever that step is. If it's the YouTube channel, if it's the writing the book, what is the next reasonable, logical, simple step that I can take to point me in that direction? Because again, I'm a checkbox guy, because once I make the step and I check the box, I feel motivated. Okay, cool. Awesome. What's the next reasonable step that I can take that's not too huge to where I feel like it's something I can't do in a reasonable amount of time and check the box? And so that would be my biggest thing. It's what I encourage everyone through the different things I've laid out in Small Changes, Big Results. And it's honestly what I'll encourage anyone, whether it's these four buckets that I talk about or whether it's anything in life, try to figure out a way to take a step towards it and then, you know, consistently, you know, add more steps along the way. And then in a period of time, could be days, could be weeks, could be months, right? Depending on what that end goal is, you're going to look back and be like, wow, it was those daily little steps that I took or that change that I decided to do and give it a shot for a week. And I saw some progress, or I mastered that technique or whatever it is, right? That led me to the next one, to the next one. And now I can look back and say, shoot, that was a whole lot easier than I thought 6 months ago because of the way I approached it.
A journey of 1,000 miles starts with a single step.
Amen. Amen.
Awesome. Well, thanks so much, Scotty. We can find, for people who want to know a little bit more about your world and about your book, how can we find that?
So I've got my website up. It's just Scotty, which is S-C-O-T-T-Y. Last name is Studer, S-T-U-D-E-R. So scottystuder.com. I'm blogging every week. I'm sharing a little bit of information from some of the chapters from the book every week. I have a link on there to give folks four chapters from the book for free, just so you can get an idea of these steps that I'm talking about in these four areas. I'd love to connect with folks on Facebook or Twitter. They can find me at Scotty Studer on Twitter and on Facebook too, just / Scotty Studer. I try to keep my branding real nice and simple. So as long as folks can remember how to spell my name, they can get in touch with me. I love to reach out and meet some new folks. So.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much. There's a ton of stuff in here for people to take some action and make some stuff happen today. And that's, I think, what the whole message is. Keep things moving forward, however yep. big the step is. It's important to just keep moving. So thanks again for sharing all this stuff. And I know people are going to have a whole bunch of inspiration from you.
Thank you, Chris, for the opportunity.
That's it. Thank you, Scotty, for joining us. And thank you for reminding us that taking that first step and creating that small change in your life is the way to get big results. So don't worry about too many things in the future. Take that tiny first step is all that matters. What little tiny thing can you do today that will get you a little bit closer to where you want to be tomorrow? And do it. Just do it. Just go. Make it happen. You guys, if you made it to the end of this episode, I know you're the type of person that is going to get out there and do something and accomplish something, because you're not just thinking about it. You're working on making yourself better to do it. So I appreciate that. I appreciate you. Thank you for listening. I'm Chris Ruggiero. Thank you for listening to my show, and I'll talk to you soon. Goodbye.
Thank you for listening to the Chris Ruggiero Podcast.